Welcome to episode 233 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Around the middle of last week, I headed off to the South Downs in order to work on a feature describing a walking route. On that occasion, it required camping overnight, and in the days preceding, of course, I had to decide which kit I'd take. So, in this show, the first of a two-parter, I'm launching straight into the selection process, and I'll be concluding my thoughts next week. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 233. It is just about, just before 4:45 in the afternoon, and as I record this, I am surrounded by what, for all intents and purposes, looks like clutter, or like an outdoors bomb has gone off. And when I say an outdoors bomb, I mean a package full of outdoors equipment. The reason I am surrounded by so much paraphernalia is that I am preparing for an overnight trip for a very small feature that I'm doing for TGO magazine, which is one of their walks features. It's towards the back of the magazine. It is basically describing a route. It gives you the pointers how to go there, and there's a little sort of little commentary, sort of a bit of a story, as it were, that goes along with that. So there is the background to what I am packing for, and that's coming up in the coming days. So what I thought I would do is, like I say, I don't have any order in front of me. It's not as if I have, it's not as if I have my sleeping stuff to one side, camera stuff next to it, and outer clothing or cookware. Everything, literally everything, is just strewn in front of me. So what I thought I'd do is I'll try to keep some semblance between what I'm looking at and talking through. But people always like to know the kit that I use, of course, in the process of taking pictures. But there is a special consideration when you are heading out into the wilds and you are self-sufficient, whether it's for a few days or an overnight or anything like that. You have to think about the balance between practicality in terms of what you need to take to get the job done, and weight, and all sorts of factors like that. So here is a very quick rundown of what I'm taking. And it is just for an overnighter. This is not, just a caveat to this, this is not necessarily exactly what I'm going to be taking. I might make a few deductions at the last minute, or I might decide to switch something out for an equivalent, or, I might tweak it a little bit. If I remember, I will tell you about lists and the system that I use for making lists. If I forget, feel free to to send me a tweet or an email or something to remind me. Anyway, let's get on with it. So first things first, we will think about the photography aspect. I need to have the kit that will allow me to take publishable pictures. Now, those of you that listen regularly will know that I have spoken in the past about whether it's okay to use cameras on your phones, that sort of thing. An example I always use is a feature that I did for Camping Magazine last year. There was a 6-page feature, and out of 15 pictures, I believe 12 of them or thereabouts were shot on my phone. Now, some of you will be up in arms about this. At the end of the day, does it really matter? They got published, I get paid, the magazine's happy, the reader's happy. They looked fine. They were shot in good light. No one needs to know. In fact, when I've had conversations with colleagues in the outdoors and photography worlds, we all do it. And frankly, it doesn't matter. That said, of course, I will have my iPhone, which is fine when the light is okay, but when it starts to get darker because of the sensors in there, it starts to kind of lose its quality, obviously. So I am taking my Nikon D800, and that is currently attached to a AFS Nikkor 35mm f1.8, really lightweight, or as lightweight as it can be. I haven't got the battery grip on the bottom. I don't need it. It's not as if I'm really going to be shooting portraits, that sort of thing. But that lens is just really small, 35mm, gives sort of quite wide wide angle for scenics. That's mostly what I'm going to be shooting. On the front of that is a UV filter. There's been discussion on Twitter in the past week or two about filters, and I posed the question whether people use filters, whether it's in post-production or at the time. The UV filter is purely to protect the front element of the lens. Now, we could go on and on about this topic. There is a school of thought that says if you put another bit of glass in front of the lens, no matter how good that glass is, it's going to have some negative impact on the image quality. Look, once again, I've had my images published, my clients have had their images. No one has ever said, oh, is that as sharp as it could be? Because I'm thinking maybe you put a filter on the front of your lens. No one cares. At the end of the day, I know that through bitter experience, I once was doing a solo mountain biking camping trip on the Isle of Wight, which is right off the bottom of the south coast of the UK. When I got to my camping area, I opened up the bag and I hadn't had my camera properly I thought it was, but it was not in a proper case, so, you know, live and learn. It's a long time ago, and what had happened, something hard had smashed into the front of the lens, and if I had not had a basic clear UV filter, which they're peanuts, they cost nothing, I would have had a really expensive bill to have either a replacement lens or a repair on that lens. That's just me. That's why I use these filters, each to their own. So, very simple. That with two batteries, one in the camera, one spare. Not using any flash or anything. In terms of stability, I am going to obviously probably be hand-holding most of the time, but I do have a Manfrotto B3 carbon tripod, which, whilst it's not the lightest tripod, it's... how can I put this? It's not the lightest that I have, but in terms of practicality, size, all things considered, I've carted that around quite a lot, and I'm fine with that. If you saw my Big Wild Sleep Out last year, the video that I shot for that, or the behind the scenes videos for that, that is the tripod that I use. It's nice and compact, and like I say, it works well for me. I am toying with the idea of taking my Nikkor 50mm f1.8 as well, partly as a backup, just in case anything should happen to that lens, but partly because it has a bit more pulling power to begin with. Now, of course, with the 35mm, it's a slight mismatch. It's a DX lens with an FX sensor on the D800. It's going to be some vignetting on there. I usually shoot a bit wider to allow me to crop that out. It's not a problem. Or I can use the cropping tool in camera that matches sets it up as a DX format. I don't know. The 50mm is not too heavy. It'll probably come down to space as to whether I want to try and fit that in somewhere. We'll have to see. So, one camera, one to two lenses. A couple of items I'm thinking about taking but probably won't. Obviously, I've said I'm going to take that tripod. I have a Manfrotto off-road, I think they call it the stunt pole. It's basically a selfie stick. I've used that quite a bit. I don't know that I necessarily need it. I should probably say that my plan is to be shooting a behind the scenes video as well as I go along. that might come in handy. But to be honest, I'm trying to keep things light because we are still just about in winter and the weather is not brilliant. I'm having to take more kit that I probably wouldn't in the spring and summer. So, for example, we'll get onto this in a minute, but I'm taking a tent rather than a tarp or bivy bag. I like tarps. You can use your walking poles to support the tarp. It's, you know, you've got that full sort of open experience. It's many ways that you can set a tarp up. But two reasons for taking a tent. One, the weather is still not brilliant. And it's not particularly cold. But the other reason, perhaps maybe the main reason, is I'm coming towards the end of using that and needing to do a write-up on the test review of that tent. I will talk about tents in a minute. So I'm not sure about that selfie stick. Equally not sure about this. I've got a little sort of like tabletop mini tripod. I won't take that. It's only in front of me here because it's got an adapter on it that allows me to attach my phone. So what I will likely do is take that attachment off. Not expensive. There are some slightly more expensive ones. This was just, I don't know, £2.99 or something off eBay. It's done a good job. I'll take that off. If I leave it attached, I'll see it. I won't lose it under a surface anywhere. So that is essentially my main camera equipment. I'm going to take my Canon G7X, which is for my behind the scenes. Experience has shown me that it goes through batteries very quickly, so I've got three batteries. One is a branded Canon one, and two are not branded. I cannot remember what make they are, but they perform better than the Canon batteries in my experience. I only really use that camera for video. I found that the stills are not brilliant unless you've got really good light, and even then it doesn't perform as you think it maybe should. If you want any questions about that, get in touch and I'll elaborate. What else? Of course, I'm going to take this audio recorder because I want to be recording some podcast content for you. Let's have a look in my pouch here. I always have in my pouch with my audio recorder, I have my an old iPod, headphones, and a little tie clip microphone. So I'll take everything out apart from probably the headphones and the tie clip microphone, and I'll put this recorder in there as well. So that's the bulk of the hardware. I'm also going to take along a what's known as a Kestrel weather meter. A lot of you are interested in that sort of thing, I know. Let me see if I can just one-handed take this out. Let's have a look. There we go. So this model is, for those of you who want to know, is the 2500 NV. I believe it's the NV version. That just means that it's got night vision. The screen readout has like a red glow to it when you activate that mode, so it doesn't affect your or interfere with your night vision. That's really handy for just the details that go into features that I write, or even blog posts, or if I'm recording a video or a podcast, you know, to be able to be sat there and say, well, look, it's, you know, it's now sort of 1 degree C. And some people like to know that, yeah, if it's really blowing a gale, I'll be able to tell you what the wind speed is. Things like that kind of, in the same way that when you're trying to tell a story with pictures, you have the main pictures, but then you have supporting images, like details and scene setting. That's what I use tools like the Kestrel for. It's not a necessary thing, but I take it because A, I like to know this sort of information. Why not? And B, it adds to the content that I'm able to create for people. So then next thing in front of me is torches. I've got my main torch is a Petzl, I never know how to say this, NAO, it's spelled NAO, really good, very bright. You can charge it off a USB. The biggest drawback on it is that it doesn't have a red filter for night vision, to help your night vision, much like with the Kestrel meter. A real oversight on that. I think they've updated it to include that, which is really good. I don't know if I'll have time to do anything about it now, but at the very least, what I could do actually is take sort of a red plastic wrapper from a suite, like you get in Quality Streets or something like that, and just tack that or stick it on to over there when I want to. Bit of a faff. I could use a red gel from a sample pack that I've got from Lee Filters that they, I don't know if they still do, but used to send them out if you needed them. But you know, it's okay. What I do have is a backup torch. I always like to have a backup. I've had this in the past where I've been using, where it's been so dark going up mountainside, it, and this was in up in Wales, in the, you know, same middle of the night, sort of like 10:30 at night, pitch black, in the height of winter, and I think that main torch wasn't 100% charged. It wasn't far off, but it drained so much, and with the cold, that it basically was giving me warning signs that it was going to give up. Not a fault with the head torch. That's just how it goes. But just, you know, to preempt these things, I always take a backup. And what I've got here is just I don't know, I think it was about £6 or something, an Energizer. The people that make batteries, an Energizer torch. It's nothing brilliant. It's not water sealed or anything like that. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4 modes on it, varying brightness of white light. And then that does have a red setting on there. So I take that. That's probably going to be enough. If I wanted to go one step further and have something that was just clipped to the outside of my rucksack, maybe just on the strap or something, I've got a little like LED, you know, like a pen light. You know, those are very small cylindrical ones. But probably I'll get away with those too, just to keep the weight down. What else have I got here? Obviously, I don't think I'm going to need a compass. Where I'm going is the South Downs. It's not like the wilds of Snowdonia or Scotland. But, you know, I will probably, you know, just as I do, just put that in there. It's good to have it and all the rest of it. I've got an OS map for the area. I use the OS Explorer maps. This particular one is their active map series, which is basically, it's water resistant, so or waterproof, so you know, you can be there in the pouring rain and the water will just bead off and it's all good. The Explorer series is 1 to 25,000. I like those because of the additional information that they give. I also have the mobile download for that, although I am going to be using an app called ViewRanger, which a lot of you will be familiar with. For this feature, as I alluded to at the very start of this recording, I need to submit the route, and like as a kind of a graphic, a map. And the way to do that is to use one of these various mapping softwares. one of these programs. I'm using ViewRanger. It allows me to plot a route before I go. It would allow me to plot it as I go. I need to be taking notes. I'm not going to rely upon my audio recorder to make those notes. What I will do is I have a notebook that is reserved purely for making route notes on the way. So for example, be sort of going along and say, oh, when you get to the river, immediately take the track to the left by the barn or whatever it might be. That's what I'm going to be doing. You can also export the file, obviously, to send that to the magazine. But once that is plotted, I'm going to make sure that family at home has a copy for safety. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're going to, you know, the Outer Hebrides or somewhere quite low-lying but still fairly remote. You want to make sure that, or I want to make sure that people have an understanding of where I'm going, when I how long I think I'm going to be. And also the other thing that I do, I use an app called OS Locate, and that is by Ordnance Survey. It's a free app you can download, and it basically, it has like a compass and all that sort of thing. But what I do periodically is, using GPS technology, and it doesn't rely upon Wi-Fi, is I will get to a point and I think, okay, I'm going to stop and have some lunch now. And what I'll do is I will activate that, and it will give me a six-figure grid reference of where I am. I can then, at a push of a button, send it as a text. And if I just leave it as is, it will say something to the effect of, I am here, six-figure grid reference, using OS Locate. What I tend to do is, if it's to being sent to my wife or what have you, I'll add a quick message on there to say, you know, all okay, just stopping for some lunch. You know, I'll send you another message when I'm sort of, you know, setting up camp or whatever it might be. If I'm delayed, I can say, for example, say, Touchwood, say I twisted my ankle and I was sort of just going a bit slower. I could say, oh, I'm here. I've just twisted my ankle. I'm okay, but I'm just going to be going a bit slower, just to let you know. That sort of thing, for peace of mind, for me to be able to tell people where I am and how I'm getting on is important. I don't want people to be worrying unnecessarily. And of course, for people back home, it's important too. Wow, that was a bit of a bit of a tangent talking about navigation and safety, but it is very important. It's right up there, even more important than all the camera stuff, because at the end of the day, cameras are no good if you're hurt, not able to tell people where you are and all the rest of it. Right, what next? Okay, so I have my first aid kit. This is a kit that I have put together myself. It also contains a few items that are way too extreme for anything that I'm likely to need for this particular trip. But it does have a steel striker in there, so I can make fire. It has headache pills, obviously for as a medical kit. But it has things like a whistle in there, so if I was in trouble, I could signal for that. Incidentally, I am just about to submit a feature to Camping Magazine, which in the coming months will be published, all about first aid kits and why first aid kits are important, how to put your own together, whether it's for yourself or for your family. So watch out for that. Of course, I will talk a bit about that. And in fact, I've got to take the pictures for that, so I may well do a quick recording as I shoot those pictures. So that's, like I say, kind of the main sort of techie hardware stuff. I've got my trusty Van Gogh gourmet set pots and pans there. I will just take the one pot. I think I usually take the medium size one because it's just going to be dinner and then the following morning's breakfast, and a few utensils and a fold up, like a spork or a fold up spoon or something. What else do I have here? Just trying to keep some order here. I think we're kind of on to the actual camp wear. I've got here a pouch which has got things like toilet paper, baby wipes, a way to clean my pots and pans just to get the rust off. A few spare, like, IKEA Ziploc bags. They're really good. That's kind of it. And sort of my personal sort of wash kit, that sort of thing. Because hygiene is important, even just for an overnighter.
Be sure to listen to next week's show, in which I'll be finishing off my kit selection process. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.